good things in the people of God, but you gotta have some word. You gotta have some word from the Lord. You gotta know what God has to say about the matter. As I talk about all of our experiences at some point in time in life, when you feel like you need to just cry out to the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anybody witness the times that nobody knows the trouble? Nobody understand your trials. Sometimes personally you have to just cry out to the Lord. We use many methods in our society to vent and our emotions and the way our predicaments and how stressful things and our anxiety. Some people run and exercise. Some people even do things like they engulf themselves in shopping sprees and go out and buy stuff. Then there are others who binge on eating to vent frustrations and things that they're faced with and to hopefully soothe their misery.
Yeah.
People have other little substance that they use. Some snort it, some shoot it up, some drink it. All kind of things to try to help soothe the misery. Well, this morning I want to preach to you and teach to you about the power of crying out to the Lord.
All right.
Yeah. There's power in that, in crying out to the Lord. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about and have experienced it, I need you to help me to understand, to those who may not even say amen so far, to understand that sometimes you just got to cry out to God.
Yes.
Because nobody knows your situations
right.
other than him.
Right.
And nobody can even do your situation any good
right.
but him. So crying out to God can be an act of desperation. To some people, I know I got a witness here that you've tried everything else, and it didn't seem to work out for you. Anybody speaking? Am I speaking the truth? Anybody? You ever been in a desperational time? You've been to all the doctors. Hallelujah! He've given you his best, and advice have come from others, and you've gotten yourself in a desperation place that you just find yourself on your knees, crying out to God. Crying out to God expressed first and foremost a genuine humility, realizing that he's the one can do you some good. He is the one that can make your sorrows turn and your shame and whatever your heartfelt condition of your body and other things that you're dealing with, God can make a difference. And many of us in this room are a greater testimony to understand and to explain to others how good God can be and will be when you acknowledge that it is God who making things the way they are. And I think most of us have been experienced enough life to understand that you didn't get here on your own. I wish I had somebody to help me here, because I know children think because many of you think because mama made you get here, but how many know God orchestrated this even before the foundation of the earth, that you are divine power to be here? And because you're here, God has given us a great opportunity to cry out to him, because I know somebody other than my family and your family are going through some things. I know your daughter ain't always been a sweet little girl. And I know your son ain't the best. He's a rascal, as a matter of fact. You don't even know what he's doing when he go out. You don't know what he's doing when he's standing on the corner talking with other little boys. You got to understand something when you cry out to the Lord and let the Lord know, Lord, I can't fix it. I need your help. I don't know about y'all, but I sang that song for a reason this morning. If I didn't have the Lord help, I wouldn't be able to make it. How many understand that even when I'm misunderstood, God can come and say, peace be still. Forget about what the naysayers and all the things going around. I got the whole world in my hand. I can destroy, but yet I will defend. And I thank God this morning that there is a God who care enough to come see about us. Hallelujah, somebody. Even when we ain't worth seeing about, God seen it. But I just have to tell you this because it really kind of vexed my spirit. I was just moving around in my weekly movement, and I noticed that what gets our young children's attention, young kids' attention, is in the device that seems to catch the attention. You find out children like this most of the time. You can barely hold conversation with them because they're so distracted by, huh? What? See, I think many of us of age can remember that there used to be one device that we have, and everybody in the neighborhood didn't have one. Anybody ever had to go down the street to use the phone? And there was a thing called a telephone booth that you can go down on the corner and call somebody. You didn't reach in your pocket. Amen, somebody. You had to go make a call. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but when we had a phone, we had a party line. When you pick up the phone, somebody was already talking. And you tell them, say, excuse me, can I use the phone for a minute? And if they were nasty, they said, no, I'm on the phone. Get off the phone and wait till I get up. The audacity of him coming on the phone. But here is our children in 2015. Can't even hold a conversation at the table. Y'all ain't helping me here. See, when you get this, you can't even make eye contact with one another because you're distracted by a device. Hallelujah. And then one day I looked, I said, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go on Facebook. Wrong answer. To hear the language. Hear the language that being used going all across the world. That everybody can see. Your preacher can see it. Come on, somebody. That was not even thought of. If I was going to cuss, I'm going to cuss behind the house. That nobody here but me and my boy I'm talking to. And you better not tell my mama what I just said. But now they put anything that everybody across the world hear my picture. I'm the one who's saying it. You don't tell me we need to be crying out to the Lord. The ignorance of us to get attached in such a thing to show that we are not godly, but we talk godly. Amen. And people sitting right in church this morning and got their Facebook. And some of the most ungodly things come up on there. And some of the things you have the audacity to say when God has brought you from so far. And you can demean yourself to bring yourself to that point. People need to understand, if I ain't crying out for the Lord for me, I need to be crying out for somebody else. Y'all ain't hearing me here because some of us don't understand what's going on. So, you know, just take a peek because if you stay there too long, it'll mess you up. Because I was almost to pick up the phone and start calling people. But I said, but we need to understand something. We are God's children. God, we carry ourselves in the image of God. We are peculiar people. We got royal priesthood in us. God has been so good to us that we don't fall and confine ourselves to the things of the world. We don't compromise those things. We keep ourselves with godly integrity. It's getting real quiet. And you know why it's getting quiet? Not only our young people, we have grandmamas who can't stay off Facebook, but they on Facebook so much, but if you ask them things about the Bible, they know nothing about what the Bible said, but they can tell you what they did on Facebook. But there's another book that has the answer to life and death. Hallelujah, somebody. That has prosperity and health and goodwill for all men. Just spend time in that book and leave Facebook. I guess you're probably saying you don't put pastor in, what do you call it? Your friend. I ain't mad with you. If you don't put me on your friend, that's good. But even though I don't know, I know one who look high, who sits high and look low. I know one who has all power in his hand. He knows more about you than I ever know. He know them little trickery things you do with your finger. He know those things that you got out there by in your Facebook. Tell me we ain't going to be praying. We got a long ways to go. And what we don't understand, we getting in our own self way of progress. Lord, this ain't even in my notes. You started it, Sister Marlene. The progress that we're making, we're in our own way. And if we're not careful, we're going to let some device lure us in while others are progressing, and we still... Human contact is the best contact you can get. And because you get a chance to face-to-face interact with one another and be able to hear something intelligent. Amen. And learn from even our ignorance. Amen. But the people of God gotten so involved in being like the world until God's saying to us that you don't look like me, you're looking like the opposite of who I am. And God created us for a different reason than what we acting like. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I thank God that God lets us see that even though you walk in this world, you ought to understand you're going to be here for a little while. And when your time is over on this side, how many know they ain't going to put your device in there with you? You're going to have a device and somebody else is going to be used. Now, these things are good and profitable for us, but you got to keep it in perspective. Let me get back to my text. I don't know why I got over that, because I just thought about that thing, man. Listen, people of God. Utilize that thing for the glory of God. Put your testimony on there. Tell other folk about what good God is doing for you. Now, that device can be powerful. They're like, well, you know what? I went back a few months back, and you were talking like this. And I seen the pictures you had on there. But now I see a greater glory on your pictures. You're talking about something now that's worth looking at. You're talking about something now that's going to help somebody to make it through what they're going through. Do I have anybody in here? Somebody got to understand something. When you get a good message, how many know that it helps you along the way? But when you get mess on that, it brings you down. Crying out to God. I'm going to hasten a little bit, if you will. Crying out to the Lord is... There's nothing new in biblical times. It was blind Bartimaeus who on one day the Bible says that he was traveling along the way. And then he said in Mark 10:46, he said, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a man blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. All right. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out even the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, as I look over this text, our first thing I recall is that some of us got to remember Jesus is always passing by. And anybody in this room understand that in the movement of God, you got to realize you better catch him while you can. Because the time will come when you have a mouth and you can't speak. But because now the blood is running warm, you ought to learn how to say, son of David, have mercy on me. And then the Bible says that even during this scenario, you got to understand something. He had went through so much until his condition was a part of his name. Blind Bartimaeus. Well, I don't know what they call you, because you might be Sad Susie. Or you might be Demon Dodge or something. I don't know what they call you, or they might call you Drunks, whatever. Whatever they may have attached to you, how many know if you cry out to the Lord can make things different? I don't know what your body may be doing for you today, but I don't know your circumstance. But you got to understand something. Whatever you're going through, crying out to God can make a difference. The Bible says this, that Jesus summoned them to bring Bartimaeus to him. Watch this. This is very key, because folk miss this if you're not careful. If Jesus called you to him, you might start shouting on your way. Y'all missed it. If Jesus called you to something, you ought to be so excited that Jesus called you that some glorified thing is getting ready to happen. And see, a lot of people don't, even when I call people to the office sometimes, oh, what you done done? Well, that's the kind of life you're living. Y'all ain't getting this right here. That's the kind of, you know how it is when your mom and daddy call you. Mama say, come there. Daddy call you, what do you want? But if you know you got your house in order, and you know your heart right, when you get called by you, when Jesus calls you by your name, you ought to know, say, Lord, I'm ready to be used for your glory. Lord, I got some fixing need to be done. Come and abide in me. Can I get any witnesses in here who know that the Lord can make a way and fix everything that you thought was broken? Ain't God all right? But it started out with somebody crying out, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Do I have a witness in here? When you don't have words to say, all you got to do is just cry out and let the devil know that I know what you're trying to do, but I'm calling on the Son of David. Have mercy on me. Do you know what I'm talking about? And when you call on him, the one who'd have all power in his hand, do I have a witness in here? I don't know what you're going through today, but there is nothing too hard for my Lord. The Lord can make a way. Do I have any witnesses in here? Can somebody testify this morning that when I call on the name, he made a way out of nowhere? Got one more thing I want to share with you, because there's another biblical story that's in Exodus, the third chapter. And the Lord said to his people, to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good, large land. How many know that God got good plans? Oh, yes, he does. I feel like I'm preaching to people who don't understand. I feel like I'm preaching to people who just not connected with understanding something. God knows what you're going through, and he has a greater plan. It's not to stop what you're going through, but it's on the way to your victory. See, a lot of people get mixed up from where you are, but you got to remember, I'm just passing through this. I'm just going through this time right now. I got to go to the Hivites, the Jebusites, and all them folk, but I'm going through this thing because on the other side of all of this, God got a blessing for me. Do I have any witnesses in here? Somebody got to understand, in spite of where you are right now, there is a great thing coming. Do I have a witness in the house? Somebody understand the full difference of understanding. I am not what I am right now, but just look at me as God take me through it. Because when I come out, I'm going to have a dance that I never had before. I'm going to really praise my God. The Lord said that he sees our oppression. He sees our hardships. He sees your sorrow. He feels your pain. And the Bible says to the people of the Israelites, I'm coming down, and I'm going to put those taskmasters in their place. See, we don't understand what our forefathers had to go through. We don't understand that they had to go places and do things that they didn't desire to do. And some of us got a greater option to do better, and we refuse to do better. Let me follow what I'm saying. Some of us didn't even think about God until about 10:30 this morning. But how many of us went to bed with the Lord on your mind? Because when you got the Lord on your mind, you can't get in your bed before you have a little talk with the one who's going to keep you through the night. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody here to understand that when she said he got the whole world in his hand. Listen here, I don't sleep with my children, and I don't sleep with my aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews, but I ain't getting no call this morning. So that let me know that my prayers were answered, that somebody had to hit the floor this morning. And how many know that's a wonderful thing? And now that I'm here in the name of Jesus, I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to bless his name. That's why David said, oh, magnify the Lord. He's worthy of all the glory. When I cried out, he heard me. And when he heard me, he came and see about me. Do I have any witnesses in here? Somebody got to understand when grandmama was praying back in the day. When grandmama was praying back in the day for the little that she did have and a lot of mouths to feed, she thought she knew God was going to do something. The same God that took three little fish and five loaves of bread, fed 5,000. You ain't got to go that far. Talk about it in your own house. When you went in there, somebody talking about sugar sandwiches this morning and sugar water. Come on. Yeah, sugar sandwich. That's right. Some people had, I ain't had no butter. It had sugar and water. People look around like, oh, my God. That was dessert. Oh, Lord, we got some teaching to do in here. People don't understand from whence we've come. But see, why folk don't understand something even about our diets as a people? And they said not good for them. But that's what we had. Watch this. When they would kill a hog, only thing they didn't use was the hair.
That's it.
Everything else was edible.
That's it.
You use it for something. And I remember, y'all, glory be to God. I remember seeing my aunt come walking around coming in the house with a hog head in what they call the dish, not what you call it, the dish pan. Big hog head setting up in the dish pan. I thought she was going to throw it away, but lo and behold, I learned that was hog head cheese. Some people don't understand. God made a way that we took hog feet and got them crawling. What do they call them now? They call them pig feet, but they got another name for them. Trotters. That's for them other folk. Come on. Would you care for some trotters? But we know all it is pig feet. And I had to ask because all I know was hog feet. Let's look at another delicacy. That ain't what it is. Some people saying chitlins. What it is, it's guts. Clean out guts. And folks saying, I love them. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care where they've been. And then people say, oh, I wash mine good. Guts. Tell me the Lord ain't been good. When folk can bring up a whole generation, a population of people are living off guts. And now we got the audacity when we come in the house of God, we can't clap our hands. We can't raise up our voices and say, Lord, I can eat guts if I want them, but if I had, I can go and eat delicacy. I can eat to any hotel I want, any restaurant I want. Tell me the Lord ain't good. My children go to the best of schools. They go to any school they want. I got one more thing and I'm through. Many of us don't remember, but many of us in some parts of the world, when children would play, we had to play with substitutes. We didn't have a football for a long time, Brother Terry. I remember we used to play with a can. Y'all laugh, but that was just being real. Now, you might have one person in the neighborhood had a football, but they were kind of bougie. So if he couldn't come out and play, he just take his ball home with him. And now we had to substitute. So we got a can. Amen. And it might have been a Falstad can. I don't know. It could have been a Budweiser. It could have been a Slit can. But it was our football. But then I look over this congregation, even when we played basketball. Some of y'all can remember when they used to call it a rim. It was a rim. That's what was up there on that pole. Wasn't no nets and gold and fiberglass, RJ. It wasn't no basketball. Sometimes you use anything for a ball. But if you look among our men, we got an NBA All-Star legend among us who started here, who started in this neighborhood. You know, that's why sometimes when he come on Sunday morning, I tell the trustees, let me see the numbers now, because there's an NBA player who have been in the house. And I know, hallelujah, somebody, I know that we're going to have to call an armor car in here this morning. Thank God for Xavier McDaniel in the neighborhood who played basketball from our neighborhood, who played basketball all across the nation. And had the, I've seen a classic when he stood up behind Magic Johnson and tell him, say, oh, you don't want none of this. And X didn't mind falling back. I said, oh, Lord, look at that Edisto court coming out now. But what we've learned is that somebody prayed for us. Somebody made this thing happen because he took the natural and made supernatural things happen. And you never know who the next. You hear about kids who going to Clemson and Carolina. That was unheard of. We thank God for places like Benedict and Morris and Allen, you know, who told you if you want to go to school, we'll make a way. You know, tell your mama or daddy, tell them to bring what they can, and we'll make a way. That's because somebody prayed for us and made a way out of nowhere. I thank God for a service like this today, that we understand a rich time together with some awesome people. Even though you may not shout it, but you ought to be shouting on the inside. Clarity and understanding what God is and who he is and what he means to us. Can you bow your heads and let's pray together?